I've got a.
Sorry, Rabbi.
No problem. No, not at all. But yeah, that edition is all English, and they have different volumes, and I haven't ever seen it like actually inside, but I'm assuming the translation's good. Rabbi Dr. Abraham, being an English speaker, would make sure of that. Okay, so we are, I'll post the link again, someone just joined. We are on the page in Nishmas Avram that is Shin Sadi Aleph, 391. It should say Shin Sadi Aleph in the upper corner of the page. And at the number four, starting the discussion of Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, what you can do on Shabbos for somebody who is dangerously ill, right? We had this whole discussion about Chola She'en Bo Sakana, somebody who is ill, bedridden, not able to function, extreme pain, whole body is ill, but not in any danger. And now we move on from that to the Chola She'esh Bo Sakana. So if everyone has that, you see the number four? Okay. So he says, Va'afilu Safek Sakana. The first thing you need to know is that when it says Chola She'esh Bo Sakana, it includes Safek Sakana, even if you're not sure that they are in danger. And we discussed that when I did my introduction about the Mishnah in Yuma that says that explicitly regarding Yom Kippur, but it applies for Shabbos as well. V'ayim b'tosvos, shelo yuchal lavo b'shum inyan lidei misas Yisrael. He says, as long as there is any possibility that it could result in this person's death, that is called Safek Sakana. We treat them as Chola She'esh Bo Sakana. Now, the truth of the matter is, whenever you deal with Safek, whenever you deal with doubt, and I think I said this in the introduction, a couple of months ago, you have to remember, doubt is a very big place. It's one thing to say, as Tosfos does, anytime there's any doubt that it could lead to a person's death, we're going to say that's considered Sakana. I mean, really? You know, what about somebody who gets COVID nowadays and is reasonably healthy? So you'll say, well, there is a chance that it could develop into something dangerous for them, but not a doubt that anybody really takes seriously. So I believe the Nishmas Avram elsewhere is going to quote what we saw when we talked about this in my introduction, which is the standard of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he says something that people run away from because they consider it dangerous. Like anything that people avoid, like it's a life and death concern. As opposed to when your doubts get, down to smaller percentages, people are less worried. We'll see more about that. But he writes here, Uklulim b'hagdara zu, included in this category of Chola She'esh Bo Sakana, is the following. First of all, chole asher lefi hargasha so, hu machalaso mesukenes. A person who is ill, who thinks for themselves, they feel for themselves, that because of their illness, they're in danger. Va'afilu im das harofei einaz zeha im zushal hachole. Even if the doctor's opinion is not the same as the patient's opinion. Da'ainu legabe sug hatipul hadarush, meaning, regarding what to do for treatment. So the patient is ill. The doctor agrees the patient is ill. There's a disagreement about what we should be doing about the illness, but the doctor agrees the patient is ill. That is a person who is Chola She'esh Bo Sakana. Aval im menugedes lo. But he writes, we're on page Shin Sadi Aleph, for those who just joined, Shin Sadi Aleph. Aval im menugedes lo. However, if the doctor is actually opposed to what the patient is saying, dahainu bikvia sug hamachla kishaladas harofe ein kan kol sakana, where the doctor says, no, I'm evaluating this person and I don't think they're in any danger whatsoever, then ein zechola she'esh bo sakana, then he's not called dangerously ill. So yes, there is an element of trust in the patient to say, I'm in danger, but only if he's in the same ballpark as the physician. If the physician evaluates and says, no, you're going to be fine, you're not in any danger, then we're not going to listen to the patient's assertion, yes, I am. That's not a thing. So that's the first type of Chola She'esh Bo Sakana. Second, he writes, Chole shelefi das rofe yesh sakana. Oh, afilu safek sakana lechayav. Someone who, the patient doesn't think it, but the doctor says there is danger or possible danger to the patient's life. Third, ogamim ein machalaso misukenes lefi sha'a. Even if the patient is not dangerously ill right now, ach yesh lachshosh shetigbar utesaken es chayav im lo yinasen lo tipul misuyam bo bayom. Where you have a patient who right now is not in danger, but if not treated on Shabbos, they will become in danger. So an example of that is an infection. You have somebody with, let's say, a bed sore or some kind of a wound. And at the moment, they're not in danger. However, the doctor is able, through experience and knowledge, to predict that in the event that treatment is not given, this is going to accelerate and they're going to be in trouble. So in such a case, we call them yesh bo sakana already. That's a third example. Everyone with me on where we are? Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, just a quick question. Is it the same category as somebody who's, let's say, an insulin-dependent diabetic who on Shabbos ran out of their insulin? They're feeling fine right now, but you know not so long they're not going to be doing well.
That's the next line. They hang in there for literally one more line. He says, V'chein ha'mahalech kibari. He says, also, I see you, Dr. Block. I'll just do this line for the sake of Dr. Felder. V'chein ha'mahalech kibari. And so too, somebody who is walking around like he's healthy. Ach yistakein im lo yekapel tipul misuyam bazman. But he'll be in danger if he doesn't get a particular treatment on time. Kigaun chola socheres ha'makabel insulin. Like a diabetic who needs to get insulin. So the difference between this and the case he just gave before is that the case he gave before is somebody who isn't really considered ill at all, except they have a condition that if you wait, they're going to be ill, as opposed to the diabetic who is already ill. They're not necessarily in need of medication right now, but they're supposed to get their next insulin dose, you know, after the meal or whatever it is. So then, yes, they're called yesh bo sakana. Dr. Block.
That stem with Yom Kippur, with the woman who says that she really
yes.
has to eat.
Right. So Dr. Block asks the question, because I assume you're referring back to the first category that we mentioned, the one about the patient who insists, I need something. So the Gemara in Yuma says that on Yom Kippur, if somebody says, I have to have food, I am in danger, and if I don't, like, if I don't get food, it's a life and death situation, and the doctor says, no, you're fine, the rule is lev yodea maras nafsho, which is a pasuk in Mishle, if I remember correctly. The heart knows the bitterness of its spirit. And we say a person is able to self-assess and say they are in danger. So we're trying to address exactly that Gemara by saying, no, we don't actually trust the patient when it comes to illness. And I think, if I remember correctly, the way that the post can explain the difference is because when it comes to hunger, that's something that a human being can recognize and evaluate themselves by experience, as opposed to illness, which requires specialized knowledge. So that's why we would say, when it comes to hunger, yes, the patient says, or not patient necessarily, but a person says on Yom Kippur, I have to eat, I'm, you know, in danger if I don't, we're going to give them food. As opposed to, the patient says, oh no, I'm dying, I need, whatever it is, antibiotics or whatever it is, that's not really for them to assert that's a need of theirs. If the doctor says, no, you're not in any danger at all. Now, on this point, the last category that we gave, the person who will be in danger if they don't get treatment soon. So that may remind you of something we discussed in my introduction when we were talking about a patient who needs a course of medication, which is given over a period of days, and then Shabbos comes up, right? So we gave the obvious example. You have somebody with a bad infection, and they're given a course of antibiotics that they have to take for 7 days. So do they take it on Shabbos? And we said the answer is yes. And we specified, or Shlomo Zalman says, that that applies where if you don't give them this daily medication on Shabbos, then they're going to get worse. They're actually going to be in danger. In other words, you're not just giving it because, well, it's a daily course of medication, but because if you miss it, that will come with a price. So that connects to this case here where we're talking about giving them their insulin at a particular time to avoid a problem. If you take a look on the sheets, the other sheet that I gave out, source Aleph, under preventative care, you see that? This is a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Amud Aleph, 140a. The Gemara quotes a source that says, Ein shorin es hachiltis lo b'chamen v'lo b'tzonein. Chiltis is called in English, or I should say Latin, something called asafotida. You familiar with that? Asafotida, I'll write it out in the chat. Sometimes I see it as one word, sometimes I see it broken up into two words, but that's what it's called, asafotida. It is a very, very strong, I think it's an herb, I'm not 100% sure of that. You can tell from the beginning, asa, it is meant to be a cure of some kind. But it is, it's a very sharp tasting thing, and they used it for medicine. So you would soak this. And what we're told here is you're not allowed to prepare it on Shabbos. Why not is the issue of Uvda Dechol. I'm not really going into that right now. But you're not allowed to prepare it on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi, Omer Bechom, and Asur Betzonein Mutter. Rabbi Yossi says you are allowed to soak it in cold. You're just not allowed to soak it in hot water. But you're allowed to soak it in cold water. Fine. The key part is not that. The key part is the next line. Lemai Avdilei. What exactly do you do with this asafotida? Why would they be preparing it? Leyokra deliba, for heaviness of the heart. Unclear to me whether that means chest pains, they're thinking heart attack, I don't know. But they clearly believe it's a dangerous condition, or at least debilitating enough to warrant taking medication. So if you have chiltis ready, well, let me not jump the gun. Rav Acha bar Yosef chash b'yokra deliba. Rav Acha bar Yosef had whatever this was, this heaviness of the heart. Asla kamei de Mar Okva. He comes to Mar Okva and asks Mar Okva, what do I do? He's not asking him as a rabbi. He's asking him as a doctor. He says, what do I do? I feel this. This is not a Shabbos question. This is a weekday question. He says, I'm sick. What now? So Amar le zil shasi tlasa tikle chiltasa b'tlasa yomi. He said, go drink 3 measures of this asafotida across 3 days. So 1 dose one day, 1 dose the second day, 1 dose the third day. Azal ishti chamsha b'Shabbos. He went and he drank it on Thursday. Umale Shabbos. And he drank it again on Friday. Letzafra. And then, you know what to do. Friday morning, azal shal be, or Shabbos morning, I should say. Azal shal be medrasha. He went to ask in the base medrash, what do I do now? Can I take the chiltis on Shabbos? So amrule, they said to him, Tana deve Rav Ada. It was taught in the yeshiva of Rav Ada. Va'amrila tana deve mar bar Rav Ada. Shosa adam kav o kabayim ve'eno choshesh. You can drink as much of it as you want. You can drink a kav. You can drink 2 kav. It's a large volume of it. No problem. Go ahead. So what they were talking about, though, was not as medicine. They were talking about it as a drink. Like you just want to drink asafotida. So Amar Lahu, he said to them, Lishtos lo kamabayali. He says, I have no interest in drinking this. That's not my question. Ki kamabayali lishros mai. My question is, what about soaking it? Or maybe they were even talking about medicine, taking it as a medicine. His question is about preparing it. Could be they were not talking about drinking it for fun yet. We'll have to get to that. So Amar Lahu Rav Chiya bar Avin. Rav Chiya bar Avin said, in terms of the question of whether you're allowed to prepare this, he said, Bididi hava uvda. He says, this happened to me. I was sick with this yogurt deliba, and I needed to take asafotida. I needed to take it on Shabbos. Va'asoy she'ilti l'Rav Ada bar Ahava, and I went and asked Rav Ada bar Ahava what to do. V'lo hava b'yadeh, he didn't know. Asoy she'ilti l'Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna. Va'amar hachi ki amar Rav, and Rav Huna told me that Rav said, shora b'tzoneinu maniach b'chama. You can soak it in cold water, like Rabbi Yossi said before, and then put that out in the sun to warm it up. So the Gemara says, Kiman Deshari, are you following the view that says that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos? Avilaman de Asar, No, 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 no. Even within the view that normally would not allow me to do this on Shabbos, if a person had not taken chiltas before, would not allow it. Still, in your case, it's allowed. Why? Hanimili hecha delo ishti klal. Where you're not allowed to make this on Shabbos is where you have not used it at all beforehand. Aval hacha, but here, kevan de ishti chamsha umale shabsa, since you took it on Thursday, and you took it on Friday, ilo shasi b'shabes mistakein, if you don't drink it on Shabbos, you will be in danger. So that's where we get this idea that a person who has to take a course of medication over a series of days continues to take it on Shabbos if skipping Shabbos would be a problem. Now, what he said right now in this Gemara might lead you to think that we mean if it's in danger, like chola sheyesh bo sakana. However, the Ran in source Beis brings multiple ways to read the Gemara. The important part for us is his latter part, where he brings the view that mistakein here doesn't mean in danger, but it means mitsta'er, he's going to be in pain. He's a chola she'ein bo sakana. So what we're saying is that the patient is allowed to continue his course of medication if failure to take that medicine would cause him to be a chola she'ein bo sakana. Everyone clear? Understood? That's what we're saying. If failure to take it would make him a chola she'ein bo sakana, then he's allowed to take it. So based on that, take a look back on your Nishmas Avram sheet. Specifically, look at footnote 53. This is why I went into those sources. Footnote 53 is on the question that Michael had asked about. The question about the diabetic taking the insulin at a particular time in order to avoid a deterioration. So in footnote 53, he first references for you the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura. And then he says, Va'amar li mo'i v'rabi hagon Rav Neuvert shlita. He says, Rav Neuvert, my Rebbe, told me, Shelefi perish hasheni b'chidushei haran al Shabbos kuf mem amad aleph. According to that explanation we just saw in the Ran, Mashakasu b'gemara sham mistikin lav davka. When the Gemara said he's allowed to take the chiltis and even make the chiltis, because if he doesn't, he'll be in danger. Lav davka, that doesn't mean danger. Ela mitzta'er machmas cholyo, just that he will be in pain. It already justifies making and taking the medication. So the upshot for us, the reason why I'm going into it, and the reason why the Nishma Safra makes the point, is a person who needs to take medication in order to avoid becoming a chola she'ein bo sakana is allowed to do so. And certainly a chola she'yesh bo sakana, he would be allowed to do so. Is that clear? Okay? All right. Then we go back into the Nishmas Avram. We are now still on page Shin Sadi Aleph, but one line up from the bottom. He's given us multiple categories of chola she'yesh bo sakana. We had the one who feels like he is in danger, and the doctor agrees, just doesn't agree with the particular treatment path that the patient wants, but fundamentally agrees. Or where the doctor thinks that the patient is dangerously ill, or where the patient is not currently in danger, but their condition could get worse. There's reason to suspect it would. Or he's not ill at all right now, but if he doesn't get his medicine, then he will be, like the diabetic case. New case, matzavim o machalot, certain particular situations or diseases, shechazal higdiru kimisukanim, which our sages defined as dangerous automatically. Kigon, for example, flip the page, yoledes mishas leida v'adsof yom hashvi'i, bless you. A woman gives birth in her first week after giving birth, halacha says she is considered to be dangerously ill. Kol sheyesh tzorech bekach, as long as there is any need for care, we are going to provide it. Parentheses, he notes, omnam kayamim hevdalei dinim bein shloshes hayamim arishonim ubein arbaz hayamim achronim ayin lekamon. He says, we'll eventually get to, not anytime soon, distinction between her status in the first the first 3 days after giving birth, and the latter 4 days of that week. Okay. So now he writes something very important. L'chola kazeh, for a patient like this, meaning in any of these categories, im zmano bahul, if you're in a rush, v'chayavim lagish lo tipul miyad, you have to take care of him right now, you need to treat right now. Dehainu toch zman katzar, meaning in a short period of time, v'kacha you osim biyom chol, where if it was on a Wednesday, you would also rush to treat right away. In such a circumstance, asrichim lasos lo kol mashet tzarich uchmosha osim biyom chol. So you do whatever the patient needs, whatever it is that would be done during the week. That's the standard, which I think I showed you when we did the introduction, is the Ramban's comment in Taras HaAdam. That's where they, that's where we get that language. We do whatever would be done during the week, he says, lelo shinui, without any deviations, ulelo hisus, and without any hesitation. Ve'alze ne'amar, and regarding this it is said, and now he is quoting for us the Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah lechalel olav es haShabbos. It is a mitzvah to override Shabbos for this patient. V'hazariz harezeh mishubach. Someone who is energetic is to be praised. V'hashoel, and someone who asks a shayla, harezeh shofech damim, is shedding blood. Don't ask shaylos, just do it. That's the rule. Assuming you are in a rush, you don't have the chance to evaluate. Right? The reason why he stresses that we would be in a rush if this were Wednesday also, is because the truth of the matter is that there are circumstances which are considered important, but only until something else comes along that's more important. So you'll have somebody who is told by the doctor, oh, go to the ER, you need to be seen right away. The ER, they see the patient, they say, oh yeah, you need surgery. We're gonna put you in for surgery in 2 hours. You know, we start prepping you and whatever. And then somebody else comes into the ER and makes them say, oh wow, you know, that's gotta be right away. Okay, you're now in 4 hours. You know, and then they just keep on delaying that. I had a situation where I had to be at a hospital on Pesach, the beginning of Pesach. And there was somebody there who had suffered a bad broken leg at the start of Yom Tov. I never found out how that happened, but that's what happened. Strange things happen the first night of Pesach. So they were told, you can't eat anything. And they ended up waiting until, I think it was a 3-day Yontif, and it was like after the second night before they actually got into surgery. But they kept saying, don't eat anything, because we're going to need to do surgery. Now, I'm not going to get into which hospital and what country it was in, and you know, that's neither here nor there. But the point is that when he says to you here, somebody who it's urgent, and if it were during the week, it would also be urgent, what he means to say is that there really is a medical need to take care of this right now and not to push it off. So he continues to say, "Ach im zmano eino bahul," but in the event that you're not rushed, "Ubiyom chol hayu mechakim zman ma ad sheyipatach hamirpa'a o ad sheyasigu rofe," and if this were to happen during the week, they would actually wait until the clinic opens, if this happened during the night, or until they're able to get a doctor. "Al af shebarur sheyitzdarchu lachal al Shabbos ve'i'ef shelachakot ad motzei Shabbat." Even though it's clear that you're going to need to treat this patient on Shabbos, before Shabbos is over, something has to be done. But since you have the time, it has to be done sometime in the next 18 hours. So get someone who isn't Jewish to do it. Im efshar, assuming it's possible. Then efshar, and if not, then im efshar b'shinui. If not, if it has to be you, so if you can do it in an unusual way, with a shinui, do it in an unusual way. Vim efshar, and if it's possible, yishalu she'elas chacham. Ask the rabbi what to do. Once you know that you have time to play with, once you know that it doesn't need to be done immediately, so take advantage of the time that you have to mitigate how you're going to do it. That's not to say we don't take it seriously. We do take it seriously. But you have time. Clear? Va'amarli moi v'rabi agon Rav Neuver shlita. Shem ein efsharut lishol. Rav Neuver told me, if there isn't a chance to ask a rabbi, al harofe v'hu adin kol shemetabil bo lasos kol ma shedato nachutz lirap oz hachole. Afilu l'shem kach tzarech lavor yisurei Torah. What happens if you don't have a rabbi to ask? So then he says, the doctor, or for that matter, whoever is providing care, has to do whatever they think is necessary for this patient, even if that includes violating biblical law. In other words, you don't say, well, I can't ask the Shaila, therefore I'm not going to do. That's not correct. If you can't ask the Shaila, use your judgment about what's necessary and go ahead and do it. V'chein im le'metapel yesh safek b'halacha. If the person treating has some doubt in the halacha, does it, can it be done today? Should it wait till after Shabbos? You do it. That's the way it works. And then he quotes you the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim Ibn Attar. But he only brings you a slight excerpt. I thought it's worth bringing a fuller piece. So I did. Oh, you know what? I brought you two things, actually. I forgot that I had Gimel here on the sheet. So let's take care of Gimel before we see Dalet. Gimel was just regarding that issue of doing whatever is normal, right? We said, do whatever you would do during the week. So the Mishnah Berurah has an important caveat in Source Gimel. Kol Sheragilim, when the Shulchan Aruch brings this idea that you do whatever you would do during the week, he says, mimachalim refuot, meaning to provide food, meaning to provide treatment. Umashma afa pi she'ein bo sakana b'minias hadavar hahu. He says, the implication of what the Ramban says, which you saw in the Nishmas Avram, is when you say treat him like it's Wednesday, what that means is, whatever you would do for such a patient during the week, even if that treatment is not really a life or death need, it's just the way we normally take care of a chola she'yesh bo sakana. That's wild. He says, Kevin Shacholi Yeshbo Sakana, since this illness is dangerous, the Yeshba Hadavar Tzarach Tzas, there is some need, Uragilin La Soso Blo Bechol, and you would normally do it for him during the week, Osin Gam B'Shabbos, you would do it on Shabbos as well. The Ayin B'Bir Halacha, but he says, see what I wrote in the Bir Halacha, Sheveinu Mikama Poskim, we brought from various authorities, Desvirulahu, who believe, Sha'afilu b'makom she'tzarech chilol ein mechalan al dei Yisrael, ela b'davar she'esh lachush bo she'em lo ya'aseihu lo yichbar olav chol yo v'yuchal lehistaken. He says, when we talk about these treatments that you're giving, he says, a Jew may only do that which you gauge is necessary, such that if it's not done, the patient will be in danger. Those are the things the Jew can do. But if it's clear that the patient is not in any danger by this being withheld, granted that he needs it, or when we normally do it, you don't have a Jew do it, have a non-Jew do it. Like the needs of a patient who is not dangerously ill. You should certainly be strict when it comes to that which is prohibited biblically. So, as an example of this, you have a patient who comes into the hospital on Friday afternoon with signs of cardiac issues that may stem from a blockage. They do a cardiac cath. They discover, indeed, that there are blockages in the blood vessels. They want to put in stents. So you're going to put in the stents. I mean, they believe that this is dangerous. This needs to be done now. So you're going to put in the stent on Shabbos. But in the aftermath of putting in the stents, they're going to want to keep checking the vitals, right? They want to make sure that everything is now resolved and everything is now okay. So at that point, he's going to say, if you have the option, have a non-Jew be the one to do that. Because the vitals are, as they say, vital. You do need it in order to take care of the patient, you know. On the other hand, it's not as though there's a direct, you know, life-saving aspect of it. So if you can get a non-Jew to do it, that would be better. It is life-saving in the sense that if you take the vitals and you find out that there's a problem, you are saving their lives. And whoever comes on shift next is going to have to look at all of those levels in order to be able to know that it was that, you know, where things are. It's not just a matter of I can test it and not write it down. You need to record it. But this is a situation where, you, number one, you have time to think. And number two, you can't say this specific act is really a life-saving act. Better at that point to resort to the non-Jew than to do it yourself. Now, in terms of the piece that I thought I was going to look at the sheet for, that's Source Dalet. That's Rav Chaim ibn Attar, the Or HaChaim. Very important statement. There is a pasuk in the Torah, in Parashas Kisisa, which says, Ach es shabsosai tishmoru. Only you should guard my Shabbatot. You may remember, those who were here when I did the introduction, we went through the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Hei, which is the source for breaking Shabbos in order to save a life. And we had six different views in that Gemara about how I know to break Shabbos to save a life. And one of the sources was this pasuk. I'll write it in the chat so people will have it to look at. It's the Or HaChaim is going to quote it anyway. But the pasuk says, Ach es shabsos ay tishmoru. Only guard my Shabbatot. So when you see the word Ach in the Torah, it's an exclusive word. And what it means is, what we're about to say is not true in every case. It's true in most cases, but there's a case where it doesn't apply. So Ach es shabsos ay tishmoru, only guard my Shabbatot, is understood to mean guard my Shabbatot except there's going to be a case where you don't, which is the case where you're going to save a life instead. That's the pasuk, and that's what the Gemara did with it. So look what the Or HaChaim does with this. It's a long piece in Source Dalet, but I think it's worth it. He says, V'nira lefaresh hakasuv. It appears correct to explain that text. V'kodem namod al kavanas tevas ach es shabsosai. He says, first, we're going to try to understand what it means when it says, only my Shabbatot. V'na'ale derech sham lahaskil omro ve'ata. V'tosefes lemor. He zooms out to the full pasuk, where Hashem says to Moshe, ve'ata, that's in the beginning of the pasuk, and at the end of the pasuk he says, lemor, to tell the Jews. V'yizbo'er alpima sha'amu rabuseinu, and he quotes you a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chavtes. Shemachalin es ha-Shabbos l'tzorche chole sheyesh bo sakano u'lechol pikuach nefesh u'chedomeh, which says that you override Shabbos for a patient who's dangerously ill and for any life-saving act and the like. V'huma sheramas ba'omro aches shabsosai. He says that's hinted at in this pasuk. Perish. Yesh mitzius she'ein lecha lishmor Shabbos. There's a case in which you don't observe Shabbos. V'dikdek ba'omro es shabsosai lichlol kol hanikra Shabbos. And the fact that the Torah says my Shabbatot, plural, that means not just Shabbos, but anything that the Torah sometimes calls Shabbos. What does that mean? Bein Shabbos Bereshis, meaning Shabbos that happens every 7 days. Bein Yom HaKippur, it includes Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur gets called Shabbat Shabbaton. Bein Sh'ar Moados, L'malachas HaAsuros Bohem, or any Yom Tov, for the things that you're not supposed to do on those days, because those are also called Shabbaton and Shabbos. Gam L'rabos Afilu Shabbos Achar Shabbos. And it also includes somebody who needs you to violate multiple Shabbatot for them. If you remember that Gemara in Yuma that we saw, we said this principle, Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedei Sheyishmor Shabbosos Harbe, right? Override one Shabbos, so he'll be able to observe many Shabbatot. So you might encounter a literalist. The literalist says to you, well, violate one Shabbos, so he can observe many Shabbatot. What if he's sick more than just one Shabbos? What if he's sick on the second Shabbos also? Maybe I should say, no, I already did it once. That's it. Now I'm done. So he says, no, it's a Shabbatotai. My Shabbatot, plural. He says, Afilu Shabbos Achar Shabbos, on the fourth line in Source Dalet. Even Shabbos after Shabbos. Imadayinu Misukan, if he's still in danger. Lo yomar adam, kvar chilalti alav Shabbos Achas. Don't say, well, I already overrode one Shabbos for him. It's still mutter to override Shabbos for him until the danger is past. That's a lesson of it. od niskave lirmos inyan echad shehelu rabosenu. It also hints at something else that our rabbis taught. V'hu she'im amdu l'chol ha'shiyesh bo sakana she'tzarech lasos lo refuah yidua, she'yesh bo melech ha'shabas ches yamim, that if the rabbis say, in order to save this person, we need to provide a treatment that involves doing melech on Shabbos for 8 days, ein omrim shelo l'chol el ha'shabas echad, we don't say, let's just override one Shabbos, ela yaseh miyad av al pishem achalim be Shabbosos, do it right away, even though it means two Shabbosos. In other words, don't say, I'm going to wait and start the treatment on Sunday. And that way only one Shabbos will be included. Someone asked me that question just today in my class at Stern. Someone asked me that. Is there a reason why you'd have to push it off in order to minimize the number of Shabbatot that are going to be involved? The answer is no. This is what the patient needs. This is what you do. Then he continues, and this is the part that brings you more towards what the Nishmas Avram wanted you to see. Od yirmoz ba'omro es shab sosai laseis tam lemiut. Lama ani omer locha shetachal al Shabbos al hachole. He says, when it says, es shab sosai my Shabbatot, that means to explain the mi'ut, the exclusion, the word ach. Why am I telling you, you should override Shabbos for the patient? Ein ze karoy chilul. This is not called chilul Shabbos. Adaraba ze karoy shmiras Shabbos. Just the opposite. This is called guarding Shabbos. What you are doing by saving this person's life is guarding Shabbos, not breaking it. Chalil olav Shabbos echad kadesha yishmar Shabbosos harbe. You are overriding one so you can keep many. What you are doing is shmira of the many Shabbatot. Vishir hakasuv kafizehu al zehaderech. And he says, then this is how to read that pasuk. Shimru Shabbosos harbe al yedei shetase miut shmira bahem. He says, guard many Shabbatot. Ach es shabsosai tishmoru. Guard many Shabbatot by not guarding this one. That's the way to read the sentence. Umitzias hadabarhu lechal al Shabbos halachol shebazeh ata mechal al Shabbos echod lishmor Shabbosos harbe. He says, that's the reality of it. But as we just said, you break Shabbos for this one time in order that he should be able to observe many. Period. Then he goes off into a separate point, which is also worth noting, which is most of the time, the person who is overriding Shabbos is not the patient himself. Right? It's somebody else. So we have a Gemara in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, Daf Dalet, I think. Actually, it says it right here on the sheet. Ha, Daf Dalet. The Ein Orim La'adam Chatei B'Shvil Shetizkei Chavercha. We don't say to somebody, you should sin so that somebody else will acquire merit. The case in the Gemara is this. I walk into a room where there's an oven, and I see that a Jew put dough into the oven on Shabbos. If I take the dough out of the oven, it won't bake. I can save him from violating a biblical prohibition. However, taking dough out of their kinds of ovens was actually considered a malacha derabanan, a rabbinic prohibition. So the question is, do I violate a rabbinic prohibition to save him from violating a biblical prohibition? And the Gemara says, we don't tell a person to sin in order to save somebody else from wrongdoing. That's the basic principle. So the Or HaChaim says, well, wait a minute. Isn't that exactly what you're saying here? You're telling me, Shabsosai Tishmoru, guard my many Shabbatot by breaking this one. But you're the one breaking it. The other guy is going to be the one keeping it later. You're violating Shabbos in order that he should be able to get mitzvos. It's like you taking the dough out of the oven. Why are we saying to do that? So he explains. Everyone follows the question? So he explains this. He says, Ve'ein omrim bazeh. Don't say here, Ein omer lo adam chatei b'shvil sheyizke chavercha, that we don't tell someone to sin so that the other guy will gain merit. Ki davka ba'over avera u'mechal al Shabbos biyado. That's talking about where you would have to violate the law, where you would have to actively break Shabbos. Ka'osa sha'amru, like the case in the Gemara there, he brings it. Hidrik pas betanur, where someone stuck the dough into the side of the oven. They had like this, that style of oven, right, where you make the pitas or the lafas or whatever it is by slapping the dough on the wall. So he says, Hidvik paspatan or shechil al Shabbos v'chayev misa al zeh ein omrim lo chatei. This guy stuck the dough into the oven, violating a capital law. We don't tell you to sin. Av a choleh, but a patient. Amra Torah chaleil. The Torah says no. Override Shabbos. Afilu David Melech Yisrael and Yizdamin Adavar liyado yachadol. Even if it was David HaMelech to walk into the room in that circumstance, he would break Shabbos for it. V'hanimna badavar ein ze elam izalza b'mitzvas hakel chas v'shalom. Somebody who doesn't do that is degrading the Torah of Hashem. And then he goes on in that vein. But that's really the basic part that I wanted to make sure you would see, because that's the full piece. He only gives you in the Nishmas Avram an excerpt. If you take a look at the Nishmas Avram now, we'll take a look at the excerpt. He says, Aleinu lizkor es divrei Or HaChaim, the top of the second column on Shin Tzadi Beis. We have to remember the words of the Or HaChaim who wrote, Shemechal al Shabbos al Chole ein ze karoi chilul. It is not called desecrating Shabbos. Adrava ze karoi shmira Shabbos. Just the opposite. That's called guarding Shabbos. That's why I much prefer to translate Mechal al Shabbos in cases of medicine as overriding Shabbos as opposed to desecrating it. That's because of this framing of it. The Kosev Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura says, Mi shechil al Shabbos mishum pikuach nefesh, eino tzarach lachapara klal. If somebody overrides Shabbos to save a life, there is no need to atone. You shouldn't say, oh, I rode in an ambulance on Shabbos, now I need to give tzedakah, now I need to do tshuva, now I... No. Umashinoagu anashim hamalikos haner b'shvil yoledes b'shabbos lis'anos achakach hu holus v'sichlus. Mishnah Brura said he was aware of a practice that some women had, that if they lit a candle on Shabbos for a woman who was giving birth, they would then fast after Shabbos to make up for it. He says, no. He says, that's wrong. Don't do that. Right? Why is it a bad thing to do? You tell me, why is it a bad thing to do? To fast? Why is it bad for someone to fast for this? Yeah.
You may make yourself sick.
Oh, that's true, but more than that, it gives the impression that you shouldn't have done it. It gives the impression that it was wrong to light the candle for the Yoledes. Chas v'shalom. Just the opposite. It would be wrong not to light the candle for the Yoledes. So we don't want to... When you tell somebody you have to do tshuva, the implication is there was something wrong in what they did. Otherwise, why are they doing tshuva? So we don't want that. They should not be doing that. Okay. That also becomes relevant in his next segment. He talks about the major question of who do you send to go do whatever needs to be done on Shabbos? Where you have the option of sending a Jew or a non-Jew, who do you send? Let's give the following scenario. God forbid it shouldn't happen, but let's say it did. You're standing in the lobby after davening is over. Most of the people there are Jews who just came out of davening, but you also have a non-Jewish custodian who's there. Suddenly somebody collapses. So do you, A, say, call 911, point to a Jew to do it, right? You're always supposed to identify the person who you want to have go do that, right? So do you point to a Jew and say, call 911? Or do you point to the custodian and say, call 911? Or Hatzalah, whatever. I'm not, that's not the point. But which one do you do? The Jew or the non-Jew? So in halacha, we emphasize that you tell the Jew. You do not tell the non-Jew. Now, the truth is, for practical reasons, you might actually tell the non-Jew in that case, because the non-Jew may be the only one in the room with a cell phone. So we'll come back to that. But all things being equal, you tell the Jew. No, you do not tell the non-Jew. Take a look on the sheet, please. Sources Hey and Vav are very important in this regard. Tosfos writes, Va'afilu hecha de'efshar benachri. Even if it's possible to ask a non-Jew to do it, mitzvah be Yisrael. The mitzvah is to tell a Jew to do it. Why? Shema yis'atzel hanachri v'lo yaseh v'yavol lidei sakana. Because the non-Jew may be slow about doing it and there will be danger. Why would he be slow? Because he says to himself, why did the Jews ask me to do it? If it was really important, they would just do it themselves. They went to me because it clearly is not so urgent. That's Tosus' understanding. He says, I am worried that that going to the non-Jew may result in it not getting done well. That's his argument. I see your hand, Dr. Block. I'm just going to do the rush first. The rush gives a different reason why. Same ruling that you go with a Jew, but different reason with a practical application for his reason. There's a difference between the two approaches. The rush says, Ve'ein osin dvarim halalu lo al yedei nachrim v'lo al yedei ketanim ela al yedei gedolei Yisrael. You don't send a non-Jew. You don't send a child. You send Gedolei Yisrael. There's some discussion, which we'll come back to, about whether Gedolei Yisrael means like Talmidei Chachamim Gedolim or whether it means adult Jews. But the point that's relevant for us right now is you do not send a non-Jew. Vafilu im yesham kitanim lasosin miyad. Even if you have kids who can do it right away, doesn't matter. Why? Chayshinan zimnin delesnehu va'asila ahadure basrayu. Because somebody is going to be standing there and see that you specifically used a kid. You specifically used a non-Jew. And they're going to think that that's the law. That you're required to do that. And the next time this comes up, they're not going to be willing to do it. Because they're going to say, no, we're supposed to get someone who isn't Jewish. I was there the last time this happened and they sent the non-Jew to do it. That's going to be the result. So the rush says, don't use the non-Jew, even if he's totally available, and even if you know that he'll be effective, it doesn't make a difference. Because I'm worried about what's going to happen next time. So argues the Rush. Practical difference between Tosfos and the Rush is where I have a non-Jew who I know will not be slow. If I know he won't be slow, Tosfos says, then use him. Why not? But the Rush says, absolutely not. Because next time round, maybe the non-Jew who people go get is either not available right away, or is going to be someone who's going to think, eh, this must not be so serious, that's why they sent me instead. Yes, Dr. Block, thanks for waiting.
I was thinking of a third possibility, and that we just got done saying that it's a tremendous mitzvah to do it. Why would you want to deprive a Jew of having a mitzvah of this sort?
Right. So there is that argument that it's a valuable mitzvah, so of course you should be the one to do it. But because what we're talking about is fundamentally an issue of Chilul Shabbos, even though we're saying now it's not Chilul because you're saving lives, but if you told me that there was a preference to sending the non-Jew, then I would say, then you can't just say, well, I want to do it because it's important, because really it's better then that I preserve my Shabbos. If we really thought that that was true. Dr. Felder.
I wonder also about, I have a feeling that there are not going to be many Jewish people with shul who know these kind of allowances. And so I might be concerned that if I'm telling a Jew to do stuff that he or she might think is the Chalos Shabbos, that they themselves would be a little hesitant. I could say, no, you really have to do it. I know these Savachos. You don't have to do it. I'm thinking that I may actually be more successful with the non-Jew. Say, listen, you don't have to deal with things about Shabbos; just do it.
So that's interesting.
I would imagine I'd be quicker that way.
Right. So that's interesting. I would say two things. Number one, we will eventually get to the statement that in the event that you have a choice between a Jew and a non-Jew, and the non-Jew will do the better job, whether because of the hesitation that you mentioned, Michael, or because the non-Jew is trained. Let's say you have a non-Jew present who has CPR training, and all the others there do not. So you are going to send the non-Jew who has the training, who you know will do a better job. That's true. The other thing I'll say, though, and some of you have heard this from me before, is that there's a halachic obligation on rabbis to make sure that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing for pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. Last year, Parshas Mishpatim, I gave a drasha on that point. I probably won't do it for Mishpatim again. It's too soon to do it, every year on Parshas Mishpatim. But it's it has to be publicly known and repeated so that people don't get into that hesitation mode of, wait, am I really supposed to do it? When in doubt, you do it. When a doctor tells you this is necessary, you do it, and you stop asking questions. So in answer to your point, yes, if you thought the non-Jew will do a better job because he won't hesitate, fine, send him. But but really, number two, we're supposed to set up an environment in which that doesn't happen. Okay. So if you take a look in the Nishmas Avram, we're in the second column on Shin Sadi Beis. Mi yichalal Yehudi o Akum? Who should do this, Jew or idolater? Yidua hamachlokes. The debate is known. Im cholesh yesh bo sakana tzvichim lchalal alaves hashabbos lefi atzorech ayidei Yehudi. If you need to override Shabbos for the cholesh yesh bo sakana via a Jew, and in parentheses he says re'e betosus yuma peidalad amid beis. See the tosus that I brought you on our sheet that we just saw. Shekasvu atam shamis atzel hanachri, who said the issue is the non-Jew will be slow about it. Akan l'shono ulefi zeh lichora gam b'yom chol ye'asoyde nachri. He says, you know, if Tosfos is saying that you're concerned about sending the non-Jew because the non-Jew is going to think you sent me, it must be that it's not so serious. So he says that's not just true on Shabbos, that's true on Tuesday also. It's an interesting question. Am I worried overall that they're going to not take things as seriously? So in any case, he said that was just a parenthetical comment of his. The question is, when Tosfos says that you're worried that he's going to be slow about it or literally lazy about it, lehitzatzel, is he saying it the way I said it, that it's because you're sending the non-Jew as opposed to the Jew? Or is he making an allegation that in general they tend not to be as quick about things like that? That's its own question. But in any case, after the parentheses, he says, if you need to override Shabbos via a Jew, karagil davka, as you normally would, which in parentheses he attributes to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, or should I send an non-Jew, or should I do it in an unusual way, which he accredits to the Rambam and the Mishnah Berurah? Which is it? Do I go to send a Jew specifically, or do I look to send an non-Jew? So he writes, v'histapakti. He says, I'm not really sure. I wasn't clear. I wasn't sure. Ha'im b'das ha-Rambam v'ha-Shulchan Aruch tzarech Yehudi lasos l'lo shinui kol davar avur chole sheyesh bo sakana gam dvarim she'enam nogim yeshirut l'chole u'letipulo. He says, when we say, send a Jew, don't use the non-Jew, right? The way that we framed it from the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Don't send a non-Jew, send a Jew. Does that apply even to things which are not directly necessary for the care of the patient? L'mashal, for example, he says, Rofei shemenateach o metapel b'chole sheyesh bo sakana. You have someone who's operating on or taking care of a dangerously ill patient. Tzarech la'asos hakol be'atzmo. He has to do everything himself. B'li levakesh me'akum, not asking a non-Jew. V'gam kefishu osa b'yom chol lelo shinoi, and do it regularly, the way you would during the week, without any deviation. And then after he's done, this goes back to what I had asked about before, the business about writing the vitals. He says, after you're done with the operation, does the Jew also have to be the one to write down on the chart all the specifics of the illness and the treatment, that another doctor will know, if need be, on that Shabbos, what was done to this patient, and to treat him appropriately? He says, when you say, send a Jew, don't go to a non-Jew, does that even apply to writing things down in the patient's chart? Does he have to write normally? Oh, yivakesh me'akum lichtov, or ask a non-Jew to do it. Oh, me'akum yichtov biad small, or write it lefty. V'chein kishuni gash tapel b'chole kazev ha'cheder chashuch. If he has to go take care of this patient and the room is dark, chayav hud lehadlik es ha'or lelo shinui. Is he obligated to turn on the light without a shinui? Ach achrei shigamar tipulo v'chole mevakesh v'neyochol ishon b'cheder mu'ar. But if the treatment is done, and then the patient asks him to turn off the light because he can't sleep in a lit room, hayim gam kan alav lechabosas haner karagil, so should he put out the lamp normally? Ahaim nomar shebezeh yodem aran l'rama shedavar sheinu mahaveh tipul beguf hachole mamash sarich im efshar la'asos oidei akum o b'shunu. Or would the Shulchan Aruch admit, like the Rama, that you should do that with a non-Jew or with a Shinui. I've been rushing this. Let me see if I can say it a little bit more clearly here. He says, there is a classic debate. Let me go back a step before what he said here. There's a classic debate as to whether Shabbos is what's called hutra or dechuya. Hutra meaning entirely permitted. When someone is dangerously ill, everything is mutter. It's like it's not Shabbos at all. Or is Shabbos dechuya, it's pushed off. Which means, yes, it's Shabbos. We're just overriding the laws as we need to, but the moment we're able to stop overriding the laws, we have to stop overriding the laws. So we generally paskin that Shabbos is dechuya, that it's only pushed off. If you can preserve Shabbos, you're supposed to. It's just that we're worried that when people try to limit what they do on Shabbos, they're not going to take care of the patient properly. So we say, don't do that. So his question is, the Shulchan Aruch is, and the Rambam, are more expansive in their description of what you do. And you don't ask a non-Jew, you just do it yourself, and you take care of the patient yourself, and don't look for a shinoi, and all of that. The Ramah says, depends. Depends on what's available. If you really know that the non-Jew can do it, and it won't diminish the care, ask the non-Jew. That's the statement of the Rama. It's a longer discussion, which I skipped because I didn't think it was something we needed to do now. But his question is, really, are you going to follow the Shulchan Aruch and say that when it comes to writing things in the chart, you're going to do it yourself and not ask a non-Jew? So he writes, we're now back in the Nishmas Avram, page Shin Tzadi Gimel, about a dozen lines down. Vilach ora ein svara lomar shaladas maran yase gam advarim halalu davka yehudi lolo shinui. It's not logical to think that the Shulchan Aruch would say that even these things only a Jew should do. No shinui, no non-Jew. V'hiskimiti hagon harishon letzion agon v'avadir Yosef. He said to Avadir, agreed with me. V'chein ra'isi shekosev harab ben tzion abba Shaul. Rab ben tzion abba Shaul also agreed with me. Writing nira das maran de davka tzrachav mamash. It's only the patient's actual needs that you do yourself. Aval lirshom midat chomo uchadome, but to record his vitals and the like. Af makum bikuach nefesh lo yase lechatchila. Even if it's a patient who's dangerously ill, you don't do it lechatchila. Elayde akum, you do it. You have an onju, do it. V'chein shamati me'agon Rishlom Zalman Orbach Zatzal. He says Rishlom Zalman said that. That which is not part of direct care of the patient, like writing down the questions that you asked and the answers, the investigation, or extinguishing a flame, so that the patient who is dangerously ill can sleep, you have to try gam ledas maran, even within the view of the Shulchan Aruch, you still have to try la so samayde akum obishinui, to do it via a non-Jew, to do it in an unusual way. That's what you do. I'm trying to think what's best here. I'm going to pause there, even though it's right before the ending, because I don't want to rush what he's going to say next. Robbie, I see your hand.
I've worked in the emergency department, and a lot of times, and even on the wards, we don't always have an extra pair of hands to get someone else. And it's really critical that legally, if you don't get it down accurately at the time, like at some point, you're not going to remember all the data.
Right.
So legally, if you don't write it down, it didn't happen. If it ever goes to courts, so you really need to. Whether it's a medical thing with vitals or a suicidal patient or whatever, you can't always get someone else. They're busy with other patients. You know, we know there's such a shortage of staff. Would there be an exception these days? Like, they have to do it.
So
and certainly, if I write with my left hand, it's illegible.
Right.
You know.
So I would say, yeah. Right. So I would say a couple of things. First, I would say that I'm not addressing it from a legal perspective. I'm addressing it from a halachic perspective.
Right.
From a halachic perspective, if it needs to be written down and you don't have the option of asking somebody else before the details are going to be forgotten, then it's necessary. It's not what he's talking
Usually
about.
we're not working anyhow unless it's a disaster and we get called in, that kind
No,
of thing. And
but I'm
that's
saying
fine.
it's not,
That's, but I wouldn't be
it's,
working
it,
on Shepherd.
it's, it becomes necessary. In other words, this is information that we do need in order to take care of a patient who is still dangerously ill. So we're going to be justified in doing it. Second note is that today it's going to be typed, not handwritten, I assume. So typing with your left hand is more legible than typing with than writing with your left hand.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
So that actually helps. Typing with your left is still considered a shinui because it is an inferior way to do it. So it qualifies as a shinui, and yet it will still be legible. So in the event that you have someone who isn't Jewish who's able to do it, great. If not, and there's a fear that you're going to forget and not have vital information, then you do have to do it. Leaving aside anything about the legal, just because this is care of the patient. Michael.
I think many times through the medical stuff, many of us have pretty good memories. I feel like I can remember an awful lot. And so would I be better? I'm stuck in a situation where it could be a few hours before the end of Shabbos. I have a non-Jew who I could ask to write it down. I could also wait a few hours and just write it myself. Would I be, if I'm faced with that very legitimate choice, I'm just better off writing it myself and wait till after Shabbos. It's not so pressing. I'll remember the details well enough, and that would be a better choice than asking a non-Jew to write it during Shabbos.
I mean, you have to know yourself. You know, you're an experienced doctor. You've done this before. The question is fundamentally your confidence, and it's an assessment you can make.
If I thought that I could remember it then, well enough, then that would be the preferable thing. It's really if I think I'm not going to remember all those details,
right?
Like Robbie's mentioned, then choosing the non-Jew to do it. But if right. I thought I could, it would be a better choice. If
yeah.
I thought I could do it. Then.
Yes. And keep in mind as well, if you're able to wait even until Bein Hashmashos, right, even until close to dark and not actually dark, you've already reduced the severity to an extent. One very important note. Next week, God willing, I'm going to be giving a different class. I put this in the email. I was asked by a group called the Jewish Physicians Network to give a class on attending medical conferences on Shabbos. And because of the rush of events leading up to Hanukkah, like I had to use the Monday night slot in order to do it. So so everyone here is welcome and invited to participate in that. I'll send out a Zoom link when I have one. It'll be at 8 o'clock, not at the usual time.